This is an interesting gospel passage which we heard today. This is Matthew 13, 1 through 23. We actually heard two-thirds of the gospel passage. We heard verses 13, chapter 13, 1 through 9, and then we heard 18 through 23, and 10 through 17 were left out. Now, sometimes I think that this is done because there are words here that they don't want us to hear when whoever it is that determines what the lectionary is going to be. I don't think that's the case today. However, I would like to look at the verses that are left out because there's some insight here for each of us and our response to the word. The gospel is about, this is a parable that Jesus tells, about the sowing of the word in people's hearts and the response of those hearts. And the first kind of heart that Jesus described is like a path. Anybody who's walked on a path, you know that the ground there is compacted. It's hard. And you sow seed on a path, nothing happens to it. It just lies there until the birds come along and discover it and consume it. And the parallel that Jesus makes here is between seed sown on that hard path and Satan coming and snatching the word, which was planted in someone's heart, actually just on the surface of the heart, because it never got in. And then in the second case, he talks about that sown on rocky ground, and that's where there's a little bit of soil, but not very deep, and a lot of rocks. And this seed springs up immediately, but soon is scorched and withers and dies. And that's because the person has no root, and there is no sustenance given to that growth. The third, and I'll come back to these in a minute, is sown among thorns and then choked out by the weeds which grow around it. And here Jesus describes this as the cares of the world and the lure of wealth which choke the word so that it yields nothing. And then the fourth is where the seed falls into rich soil, prepared and ready, and there springs forth. Now, the passage left out in the middle, I'll read to you. It's Matthew 13, starts at verse 10. Jesus has just told the parable, but he hasn't explained it yet. He's talked about seed falling on the ground and springing up and dying out and so on, but he hasn't explained himself yet. So the disciples came and asked him. Now, remember, Jesus is sitting out in a boat on the edge of a lake so that a lot of people can hear him. So many people have come to hear him that he has to sort of go out on a boat in a lake so that they, it's like a instantly made amphitheater, and a lot of people can hear him. And he's told this parable to all of these people. Now, after he's told the parable, then the disciples come to him privately and they ask him this question, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given." He's referring to the crowd that has just heard this parable without explanation, the parable, but no explanation. And then he says, and listen to this, this sounds almost contrary to what you would expect, but he says, "For those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away." Doesn't sound like Jesus, at least not what we usually hear of Jesus. "The reason I speak to them in parables is that seeing they do not perceive, and hearing they do not listen, nor do they understand." And Jesus is here quoting from the Old Testament when he says that. And he says, "With them indeed is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah that says, 'You will indeed listen, but never understand. You will indeed look, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes, so that they might not look with their eyes, and listen with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them.'" And then he turns to the disciples, and he says to the disciples, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." This is scary stuff. What Jesus has done here is he has just talked to a great crowd which has come to hear him. And he's only told them a parable. And he's told the parable in four parts about the seed thrown on the hard path. It doesn't even germinate. doesn't even begin to grow or sink roots down, the birds come along and snatch it up. And this is Satan who comes and snatches the word from those whose hearts are so hard that the word never even takes root. But he doesn't explain that to the crowd. He just tells the story of the seed being thrown on the path and the birds snatching it up. Then he tells the story of the seed falling on rocky ground. Sprang up quickly, they have no depth of soil, but the sun rose and they were scorched. Since they had no root, they withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. And then other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let he who has ears hear. And that's all that he tells to the crowd. And then he explains to the disciples that the reason he has not explained this parable is because the hearts of the people have grown dull. Their ears do not hear, their eyes do not see. And so he speaks only in parables. And he says, if they would only turn to me, I would heal them. But he knows in advance, remember, this is not just a man. He knows in advance that for most of them, they will not listen. And in fact, they will not turn to him, they will turn away from him and flee when persecution comes. He knows, in fact, that the disciples will do this for a little while, but they will eventually persist. And so then when he explains this parable, it begins to make sense, and makes sense to the believers and to the disciples. Because he says, now he's explaining this to the disciples, not to the people who were in the vast throng, but to the disciples, and to us as his disciples as well, if we will but listen. He says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. Now we can see in our own lives where we have been each of these people. And there are people, for sure, almost certainly, who hear the word once and it falls on hard ground like the path and the devil comes and snatches it away and that's it. They never listen again. They have no interest again. This has also been true of some of us, me certainly, in our own lives where the heart has grown hard and we haven't listened and the devil has come and snatched away the word. But God, in his great graciousness, has persisted with us. And eventually that heart softened and was able to receive the word. And then there is rocky ground. This is interesting when he talks about the rocky ground. Because here the seed springs up immediately. The word is received with great joy. But it has no root. And when a little bit of persecution comes, it withers away and dies. Now, in the time of Jesus and in the years of the early church, what this meant was real persecution. When we look at our own lives and we see persecution in them, and this is not to minimize it, it can be quite profound and quite painful. But in the lives of the Christians in those days, what it meant was death. There are Christians today for whom their faith means death. That's what it results in. This is not a joke. There are something on the order of 300,000 Christians murdered for their faith each year today, in this year, 1996. Not in the United States for the most part, some, but all over the world, many, many people are killed for their faith. This is not something that most of us have or ever will experience. But there are those who go to their death rather than abandon their faith. Having heard the word, it took deep root, and they will not give it up. There are others who, threatened with death, will abandon their faith. And there are those of us who are threatened with embarrassment and give up our faith. Just in our workplace or in society, we know that there's something that is wrong. Now, I'm going to cite one of those, abortion. There may be those of you here who believe that abortion should be a woman's choice. This has to do with freedom and rights. For Christians, we have no rights. Christians have no rights. You need to ponder this in your heart. Christians have no rights. We have a Lord, and we are His. And we do as He leads us and as He tells us. If we're obedient, we have no rights. And so for us in our society today, there are many things which our society promotes and blesses and insists is right and true and just and perfect. And as Christians, we know is wrong. But will we deny our faith rather than be embarrassed by asserting an unpopular truth in our society? Persecution for us isn't death, it's just embarrassment or criticism. Will the word stand true in our hearts? Will it take deep root in the face of embarrassment, criticism? Will we stand for what's right, even if we're made to look a fool when we stand for it? That's the challenge for us. It's not even death. It's something that simple. And yet, for many of us, we wither and will not stand for what we know is true and for what we know Jesus would have us say in certain circumstances, just because it's too hard for us. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. We need to ask whether this is our sin and whether we can repent of it and stand true. Then third, Jesus tells the disciples, as for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word. Remember, the thorns grew up and choked the word in the parable. This is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. Now, this isn't the issue of standing for the word and being embarrassed or criticized by it. This is the issue of things becoming so tough in our lives. And there are people in this congregation, and more than one or two of you, I promise, if you think you're alone, more than one or two of you, who are having very, very hard times in your life right now, whether it's money or great distress in marriage. There are husbands and wives who are fighting at swords points with each other constantly. There are families who are suffering crushing financial defeat. There are families who are suffering great distress with their kids. The kids are into trouble in ways you couldn't imagine, and I won't share with you without permission. But there is great trouble in the lives of families here. And Jesus talks about those as those, the cares of the world, they rise up like weeds among the wheat and they choke it out. They choke the life out of that faith and that word in those people. And other people where the cares are the opposite. They're so concerned about their careers. They're so concerned about making it in the world. Not just feeding themselves day to day. You know, when I was growing up, we had very little money. And most kids who grew up with very little money will tell you, we didn't know we were poor. We had a happy family. Our parents loved us. I didn't know we were poor. My folks probably wouldn't like to hear me say that. And we weren't poor, dirt poor, but we didn't have money. If I wanted stuff, I had to work for it. I had to cut grass or shovel sidewalks or junk pick stuff. My brother and I used to junk pick on Thursday mornings. When everybody put their garbage out, Bob and I were out early with our wagon picking stuff out of the garbage. It's illegal now. But that was how we managed. We even made money from doing that. It was how we got on. We ate meat once a week. We had boiled chicken on Sunday. It was what we could afford. Never occurred to me when I was a kid that we didn't have money. It just didn't occur to me because we had love in the family and we cared about each other and there was joy there. And there was not, on the part of my father, bless his soul, such a great hunger for success and career that I didn't have him with me. I mean, he was out some evenings on appointments because he sold insurance, but he was not so consumed by his career and by the lust for money that the word was choked out in our household or the love was choked out in our family. And so Jesus talks about that sown among thorns, where the cares of the world or the lure of wealth choke the word and it yields nothing. And then finally he talks about that which is sown on good soil. And this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold and in another 60 and another 30. And for each of us, then, as we look at the sins that Jesus talks about, the way we can fail to let that word take root and grow in our lives. We can fail that way for our whole lives. We can fail that way for a while until that the root from that seed penetrates and begins to bring forth new life in us, even in the face of adversity, even in the face of opportunity, even in the face of criticism, even in the face of possible embarrassment, because we stood for what we knew was godly rather than what we knew was human and of the spirit of this world. And we have to persist, even in the toughest times. And St. Francis said something about evangelism, which really pertains here, and it has to do with how you and I relate to each other, with how we all relate to each other. St. Francis said this about evangelism. He said, "Preach the gospel always. If necessary, use words. Preach the gospel always. If necessary, use words." We're so caught up in our day and age with the idea that every truth which is communicated has to be communicated in a set of logical propositions which are heard and received and then deduced from, that I ought to have a turn of faith and turn back to the Lord, that we're unaware, or we make ourselves unaware of the gospel in the way we live, the gospel in the way we care for each other and hold each other up. Just simple phone calls, praying for each other, having meals together, standing for truth in the face of criticism and embarrassment. That isn't preaching the word in words. It's preaching the gospel in the way we live. It's walking the walk in addition to talking the talk. You know, some of you have heard me say this. I was saved by a cross in a procession. No words were spoken to me on the day I accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. It wasn't an argument. I wasn't talked into it. I wasn't argued into it. In fact, I don't think anybody ever gets argued into the kingdom. I think the way we get into the kingdom is we see the gospel lived out in people's lives, and we believe the words when they speak them to us because we see the gospel in their lives. And so I leave you with these two challenges. The first is to ask the Spirit of God to show each of us how it is that we have made the path rocky or hard, or how we have allowed thorns, cares of the world, lust for power or money or success, to choke the word. In what way have we not allowed that word to penetrate into our hearts? Just ask him to show each of us. We all do this. We do it again and again in new ways sometimes, but I think probably most of us have a sin, a way in which we keep the word, who is Jesus Christ himself, from penetrating our hearts. So ask the Lord to show us, each of us, how we have done that. And then offer ourselves up as rich soil, willing soil, not allowing the thorns or the rocky ground or the cares of the world or the lure of wealth or fear of embarrassment or criticism to choke out that word, but to allow it to sink deep roots and produce fruit in abundance. And then let us preach the gospel that comes alive there in our lives. As St. Francis says, preach the gospel always in the way we live. And if necessary, use words. Amen.